Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. Let's focus on getting ahead with social media and digital marketing. All right, so just going to ask you a really quick question. Do you think you're using social media successfully? And maybe a couple of other questions. Are you feeling comfortable with your social media participation? And then what about networking? Are you networking enough on social media? Well, these are all really important questions for business owners and professionals who are working with their brands. And I've got a great guest today who can answer these questions and more. So I want to introduce my special guest. Joining me on the show is Joan Pelzer. Joan is an entrepreneur and the founder of Joan Pelzer Social. So she's also the host of a radio show called Follow Me Friday with Joan and Priya. And rather than me just going on and on about all the great things that Joan is doing, I think it's time for her to jump in and share her career journey with you. So Joan, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Deirdre, I'm so excited to be on the show with you. This is exciting. And we were introduced by none other than Brad,
which is great. Yes, it's wonderful when your nephews grow up, they're in the business world, and they actually make a connection for you. So hats off to Brad and for introducing the two of us. And I'm so happy he did, Joan.
He is an awesome individual. And you know what it is? It's a lot about connections, and it's about making those connections family, non-family, and you never know where they'll lead.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, let's just kind of take it back a little bit for you, because you're definitely a connector. But I think that you started out as an actor, kind of, right? You were involved in theater production. Now you're an entrepreneur and you're a founder of, you know, Joan Pelzer Social. Tell us why you launched your own business and to help other companies with their social media training, strategy, engagement.
Absolutely. I have an eclectic background, which it's interesting how people will say everything I've done led me to here. And I do strongly believe that everything I've ever done, I feel like is putting me where I am now to lead me to where I'm going. And to be on this journey has been quite magical. Everything from I started out wanting to be a newscaster in the very beginning. I went to college and now I'm doing a radio show.
Right,
but I never
exactly thought
I'd, you know, like who'd ever thought I'd do a radio show? But my journey wasn't so straight. It had, you know, curves along the way. I was an actor and a producer. I still do act and produce. I've been in commercials. I do film, TV, and theater. I have a theater production company, and mostly I produce musicals and I don't sing. So I'm never an actor in my own work. But we've won awards in Guadalajara, Mexico for some of the musicals I've produced in New York. So that's quite
fantastic.
Exciting. And I was also a Peace Corps volunteer. I was in Russia doing business and economic development for 2 years. So kind of backing up, I went to school thinking I was going to be a newscaster. But, you know, when you're in college and you get an opportunity for a job that pays you very well and you get to move to New York City and live with your best friends, then that's what you choose to do.
Right.
So I didn't go the route of the traditional newscaster or television anchor type, you know, direction. But I found my way into radio now later on and Facebook Live, which I absolutely love. So I do a lot of interviews via Facebook Live. But along the way, I got an MBA in finance and international business. That's when I then quit my job at Verizon, was doing a job in corporate America, purchasing switching equipment and technology equipment. So I was on the purchasing side.
Which is so different than what you're doing today.
I couldn't even tell you what the equipment was that I purchased. It's kind of interesting. But then I went in my MBA program, I realized that my strength lied in business development and marketing. And I joined the Peace Corps kind of as an escape from my original business direction of Verizon, sure, because I didn't see myself in corporate America. I don't know that I would make that same decision now, but I'm glad I did because it allowed me to kind of open up my eyes to what else was going on in the world and where I could potentially make an impact. When I was in Russia, the very first thing that was written about me was an article in the independent newspaper in the city I lived in. And the title of the article was "Volunteer Doesn't Let Us Sleep." And the gist of the article was that I wanted to make a difference. I really wanted to make an impact. I wanted to help people. And what happened really was that I was changed more than I changed people. And I think people see that happening to themselves in their various ways that they volunteer or the work that they do. And to make an impact and also to have that impact be felt by yourself is really a key to who I am and who I want to meet. So, you know, when you and I were introduced, that was one of the things that stood out for me was what you were doing to make an impact in the world. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Kudos to you.
Thank you. So when did you actually decide that you were going to become an entrepreneur and business owner in the digital marketing space, social media and digital marketing?
Right. So I came back from the Peace Corps, went to acting school full-time, started a theater production company and produced. And then along the way, because I had an MBA, I was able to use that to get consulting jobs. And it was while I was doing the consulting work that I realized I could actually do this for myself as my own business. And I sat down with a friend one day. I was doing a conference and I was, it was a CEO conference and I was live tweeting as somebody. And she looked at the audience and said, she's going to start her own company and do this for other people. And I said, no, I'm not. And then I sat for coffee with my friend who is a business coach. And I told her the story and she said, give me your credit card. You're going to sign up for my business retreat. You are an entrepreneur and you don't even know it. So it wasn't even necessarily a decision I made. I want to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know if I knew what that really was, but I made that decision. And that was 5 years ago in September that I will have my own business. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of just
found you.
I think it really did. I think you hit the nail on the head, Deirdre. It did. It found me. And now almost five years into it, they say that that's the break or make point. And it's for me where I'm retooling my business and readjusting what I do and how I do it. But of course, part of the reason for that is that digital media has completely changed in the past few years. I mean, when I went to school, I just feel like I sound old when I say that. But when I went to school, we didn't have Facebook. Facebook started, you know,
me neither.
You know, you didn't either, right? So social media didn't exist as a business. And now it's changing like dramatically. There are hundreds of social media platforms and apps, and there are new ones forming, and you're noticing them every single day that it's hard to keep up with. I mean, you still have your top few, and Facebook is still one of them, but you have to know what's going on and you have to adjust along the way. So I'm adjusting along the way. Recalculating route. I'm like a GPS.
So many, you have to. You always have to recalculate, retool because of the fast pace of technology. And if you're a business owner, how your customers want to experience information or news or how they want to be entertained. So you're helping companies with their social media, whether it's strategy, training, engagement. What are you finding in terms of what's defining the successful brand on social media versus maybe the not so successful?
That's a really great question. And that's a learning curve every single day. What's defining the successful company, I think, is authenticity, being real, being who they really are online. And that's a very hard thing to do because you really need to be open and honest. You have to be
right, and you're a little vulnerable.
Absolutely vulnerable. And you have to make sure that everybody knows what the story is. You're storytelling mm-hmm. every single day. So everybody has to know what that story is, and everyone has to be able to tell that story. So I think the most successful companies are companies that know that and engage in that on a daily basis. And the ones that are not successful are those that choose to ignore or don't see the importance because they see it as just an extra offshoot. And it's not. It is part of who you are. And being social, being on social media, needs to be part of who a brand, a person, an influencer, it needs to be part of the core. And it's got to be part of the innate strategy of the company overall, the business development and the marketing.
That's a really great point. That it's not just some offshoot that you can ignore at your own peril. Right. That it's actually across your business, and the transparency and the level of authenticity that you have to keep in mind for those successful companies. But how do you feel, do you think companies through your help are really getting to see the impact, the results? How are they measuring?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of times you probably see this a lot. It's about ROI. It's about the bottom line. Well, I'll be blunt and say to a company, this may not increase your sales. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. You may not get more clients from doing social media, but if you don't do social media, you may lose what you have. And what I mean by that is not that people are going to start running away from you as a company. What I mean is the results can't always be measured by dollars and cents. The results are often measured in how did I communicate with my client or my target market. So depending on who it is it B2B? Is it B2C? How did I communicate with them? How did I engage them? How do they feel about me as a person, as an influencer, as a thought leader, as a brand? A really amazing example of this, if I might give one, is Cory Booker, who was the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. And during the worst time in part of New Jersey's history, during Hurricane Sandy, he instrumentally saved lives by using Twitter. And if that's not a great example of social media and the greater good and impact, I don't know what is. And that is not going to be an ROI for him, other than a potentially, you know, he could run for president on that. And he did get to Senate from doing that, but it's his overall brand. And that was just one piece mm-hmm. of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, well, social media can help people.
Absolutely.
So when you step in on that level and you're helping, especially during a Hurricane Sandy, that's huge. I mean, I remember being in New Jersey and in Southern Jersey by the shore and living through that. Social media was telling us what gas stations had gas. You know, you had to travel like 45 minutes to get gas.
Absolutely.
So that is a really good example. I always feel with social media that it is about your brand awareness. You have a great platform for thought leadership. And a lot of the engagement metrics, you can drive over to your website, where there you can kind of track what your customers, you know, go deeper with
Absolutely.
Them. And that could lead to the conversion.
Absolutely. But, and the conversion is very important. Making the sale is very important, but that can't be the only reason.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
People Absolutely. Are sharing a lot of information on social media. And to harness all of that data alone allows you to get closer, because you said it before, how people are feeling. That's huge.
Absolutely.
So there is a lot of the feeling and the qualitative that's so important. I do want to pivot to you, you know, you mentioned your radio show. So, and how you, you know, thought you were going to be a newscaster, and isn't it funny how things kind of come full circle. So tell us a little bit about your radio show and what was the inspiration for launching it?
Absolutely. There's another thing that I kind of, that came to me. I started doing this radio show. It's going to be 3 years ago. And I started as a guest host with another gentleman named JC Maldonado. And the show was called 21st Century Entrepreneur Radio on Talking Alternative Broadcasting in New York City. And JC was doing the show. It was all about business. And each week it would be an interview with some business leaders, and he would ask them specific questions about their business, really from a, from like his business standpoint. Like, what do I want to know about accounting? What do I want to know about hiring a CFO? Things like that. And I came on as a co-host, and we just gelled, and we continued to do the show together. And then a year and a half ago, so January-ish, December to January, he decided that he couldn't do the show anymore because the show is on Fridays at noon, and he had to be at a client. He just helped buy a new company with his business, and he had a baby. So he was a little bit busy on Fridays. So he couldn't do it anymore. So he kind of handed it over to me. And I asked a colleague of mine, Priya Nimbard, to join me. And all of a sudden, magic happened when we got on the air together. We just gelled. And so we decided to rebrand, as you probably have gone through this with people you know all the time. Rebranding can make or break you. In our case, it helped make us. We rebranded. We call ourselves now Follow Me Friday with Joan and Priya, and we're digital connectors. We want to use the radio show as a platform to help connect people. And so we, in the past year or so that we've been doing this, we've been able to connect people that are guests on our show with people we know. Or ironically, you're going to laugh at this one. We did TEDx Lincoln Square as the media host. It just happened in March. And two of the guests that were in studio with us that were speakers actually went to the same high school together.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing. We were like, wait, you two actually knew each other in high school, and you're the two that we chose to be guests today on our show. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Yeah, it was interesting. Really coincidences like that are magic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it being wanting to be a newscaster and now having your radio show and the way that media is today and what you're doing, it sort of, you have to live the part too. So in a sense, you've taken media and what you do as a professional to a whole new level. If you were going to give some really quick advice about other professionals maybe wanting to get into radio or podcast program streaming, what would you tell them?
Just do it. Just start. Just do something and learn about it. Research it and learn about it. And there's tons of ways to be an intern. I laugh because there was a movie with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway called The Intern, where he was 70 years old and he went back to work for a digital company that sold clothing online.
That was a really good movie.
I love the movie. I watch it a lot. I make all of my interns watch it because I think there's no stopping learning. And if it's something you don't know, just go and learn how to do it. There's plenty of ways to do that. You can go to the number two search engine, YouTube, and you can find a video on just about anything. And you can learn how to do something. And there's also opportunity. I mean, the radio station that I work for and with, we have interns all the time. And they all have different reasons for being there. And they all have different skill sets. So there's always a way to learn how to do something. I mean, look at you. You're doing an award-winning podcast. I mean, it's fabulous to just get out there and be able to make a difference in the people you're interviewing and the people that are listening, and let those people have some content that's authentic and real. And so that's the greatest advice I could give anybody, is just go and do it. And like you mentioned, with regards to I'm walking and living what I'm doing, I really am, because I actually have to do what I'm doing to help my clients regularly.
Yeah, You have to walk a day in somebody's shoes in order to understand or do what they need to step up to.
Absolutely.
And you know what? We are very similar because I actually started as a guest host just for a little while as I was researching just to see if I liked podcasting. And then I dove in. So you did the same thing. You were, you know, started guest host and then kind of went off, and you and Priya now have your show. So it's that testing time is important too, to see if you even enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Joan, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give a little love to our sponsor. And I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Joan Pelzer and I were just chatting about social media success and what companies are doing right. Joan's also shared her career journey, the twists and the turns. And we were chatting, Joan, about your show, your radio show,
yes,
which is awesome, and how you also Facebook Live. And you had mentioned being a connector and how even on your show, you're actually connecting people. So maybe you could talk a little bit about your approach to connections, networking, and I know you're involved with a lot of different organizations.
Yes. In fact, I actually pared back my networking.
Wow.
if you can believe it. I was over networking, and it wasn't useful to anyone because I was failing at follow-up. And follow-up is one of the most important things when you are networking. So what I found was the best way to network is to network, find a few people that are important to connect with for you for whatever reason, and make sure that you follow up with them regularly and create a relationship from that. Because it's the same with social media. You can put things out there left and right, but you really want it to be a connection that leads to a relationship, not just a blind connection. Like, for example, I'll use you and I, Deirdre, as an example, that we met virtually and we've talked on the phone several times and we've been connected now for probably about six or eight months. And we were connected through another networking group that I attend called Business Networks International. Those are the 7 a.m. breakfast meetings that everyone's so afraid of.
You.
It's not so bad. I get more done before 9 a.m. than most people can get done in a day. So
I know I do, but I'm in my pajamas or my sweats.
I love that. That's an awesome thing. I was in my pajamas and my sweats before this meeting today. So I only got myself ready about a half an hour before our call. So it's all good. And that's the beauty of digital media. And the beauty for me is that you meet someone, you connect to them, then you take that connection, if it's in person, and put it online. What I mean is go and put them into your database. Don't blindly start sending out newsletters to them because you never know if that's your target market. But then connect to them online, maybe send an email or a call, put them in your LinkedIn or find a group that they're part of and become part of that and offer to help them. How can I help you? How can I connect you? And that to me becomes one of the most important things, because if you can be of service and give to someone else, you'll get back exponentially.
Oh, I agree. I mean, even in the early days of social media, I remember being in a Facebook group and somebody was asking a question about, you know, data mining. And it's not something that my agency did, but I knew companies that did that. So I, you know, connected somebody who happened to, she worked at Kraft in the IT area. She was an IT director. And next thing I knew, my agency had business mm-hmm. with that company. So
see?
You just, yeah, you help someone with no intention. I mean, there was no intention to get business. Yeah. It just kind of happened.
No ulterior motive.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, Joan, is it, I get a lot of questions from younger professionals about networking. And it's always that question of, well, if, you know, should I request to connect on LinkedIn or shouldn't I? And I always say, well, if you've met somebody and you know, you're at a conference and you've exchanged cards and you've talked, then the next natural progressive step would be, why wouldn't you connect
Absolutely.
On LinkedIn?
Absolutely. I've had high school interns who came to me and didn't have a LinkedIn profile. And I would make them sit there with me and create a LinkedIn profile. And I would be their first connection. And I would be a recommendation for them or something like that. Because it's not going anywhere. It's the way of the world right now. And if you start now, you'll have such an exponential network by the time you're ready to actually need it. But also, you never know what you need along the way until you actually get it. So one of my interns this past year in December, I just had a 1 month intern. He goes to Ithaca College and he goes for media. He goes for radio and TV. And he started connecting to people in my network that I gave him to call. He would call them. He would ask questions. We would schedule them for an interview or something. And he started to build his network through my network.
Yeah, that is so great. And I mean, starting young, you know, young professionals, whether you're in college, internship, you're just getting out, social media is a really great place for networking. It doesn't replace in person, but I often find that professionals don't go the distance with their social media networking. What are you seeing there? Do you think professionals are using LinkedIn or other networks?
Yes.
The right way?
Yes and no. It's the first question I ask whenever I make a presentation. How many of you checked LinkedIn today? How many of you checked your messages or anything like that? And I do agree. It's, you know what it is? It's time consuming, Deirdre. People don't have time to be checking these things all the time. That's why they end up bringing someone like me, a professional, in to do it for them. You know, sometimes, like, for example, I don't clean my own apartment every week. I hire in Evelyn, and she cleans my apartment for me every week because the amount of time that it takes for her to clean my apartment really well is far less than the amount of time it would take me to do it. Plus, it takes me away from doing something that could be a moneymaker for me. Plus, it employs someone locally in New York City. So there are three reasons to hire a professional.
I mean, absolutely.
I don't clean my own teeth. I go to the dentist. I mean, yes, I brush my teeth, but let's face it.
Right.
I go to the dentist because I can't clean my own teeth the way a dentist can clean my teeth. So it
exactly.
just makes sense. I know it sounds so silly, but think about penny wise, pound foolish. My grandmother always used to say that. And it just makes sense. I mean, granted, not everyone can pay for a cleaning lady, but then when you look at the dollars and the cents and the amount of time it takes me twice as long. Plus I'm distracted the whole time while I'm cleaning. I want to put a movie on. I want to pet my dog. I want to do this. I want to do that. So I think of that with social media. I'm like, you know what? I can do probably better than you can do yourself in a faster amount of time. But that's not to say that I'm doing it in a vacuum. It's not to say that I'm not having you involved in what I'm doing, because that would be the wrong way of being. It's got to be that it's your voice and you know what's
right.
going on. So I have to update you on a regular basis. But do you really have time to sit there and do every single thing that needs to be done? But, you know, it also has to be a strategy behind it. What actually does need to be done and what doesn't need to be done?
Well, I'm all for leaving it to the experts. I mean, I think about why I have a virtual assistant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not good at keeping that calendar organized and all the scheduling and the things that, that go on. I can focus on my business and helping my clients. So
exactly.
It just opens up so many more hours in your day. But on that note, so looking at you and your busy day, how do you kind of manage? I know you said you scaled back on your networking, but it's still networking, client work, podcasting. You mentioned Facebook Live. How are you managing everything? What's helping you?
I have a productivity coach and she's a friend.
Oh.
And she's helped me put some systems in place. And, you know, just like you, you have to have help to put the systems in place. You have to have help managing those systems, and then you have to do the checks and balances along the way. So I schedule things around the big things I have. So if I have a client that I have to do Facebook Live for, like today, for example, I'm going to be doing Facebook Live for a client's event. And Facebook Live and Instagram Live, I'm setting up tripods and we're going to have them going at the same time. But I'm also going to be monitoring the comments that come in so that we know who's on there and we can, in the moment, answer any questions they have during the presentation. So that's a priority. And I've spent about a week and a half promoting the event. So it's, you kind of dial back before you go forward. And that happens with the radio show. I promote the radio show and the guests that are coming in advance. So you're going to be on my show in July and I'm going to promote you. Well, I'll promote you way in advance and I'll be saying, get ready because we want people to listen live. Get ready to listen live to Deirdre. Deirdre's going to be on our show and I'll start promoting it. But we have checklists of what has to happen, when it has to happen, like how many days before, how many hours before, and then those tasks get scheduled. So it sounds like such a big system, but it's really a matter of what do I have to do? When do I have to do it? And then what do I do after the fact? Because you can't forget it. It's like going to a networking event and not following up. If you don't follow up after the fact, you kind of lose the momentum you built. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really does. I want to go back to this productivity coach. So I've heard people say, I have a personal coach. And then I've heard others say, well, I have a business coach. And I haven't heard a lot of people talk about their productivity coaches. Yep. So that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And she is pretty cool. And I have checklists from her that are worksheets.
Oh.
So I break down every single task that I have. And most tasks we think, you know, okay, for you, do my podcast. Well, do my podcast is not just one task. Do my podcast.
There's like 20.
Exactly. But imagine if your task was just do my podcast, your podcast would never get done. So your podcast getting done has the multiple pieces that each have to be broken down and scheduled and assigned. So that's how it goes. And for my purpose is, if it doesn't go in my calendar, it doesn't get done.
Doesn't exist.
Including free time, including calling a friend or my mom, including dinner, including making dinner or I forget to eat.
Yeah. Oh, I actually don't. Well, no, I do schedule one to know we've blocked off on my calendar because that's really important. But I agree. If you don't, it's almost like people say, I don't have time for this. And then you have to say, well, are you putting it on your calendar? Because if you're not actually carving out the time, what is it really a priority to you? So even family, like I, you know, spent time with my parents over the weekend. That was on the calendar.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
And it's funny because this morning I woke up early, but I wasted 2 hours this morning, but I wasted it kind of knowing I was going to waste it because I set the alarm way earlier than I knew I had to get up to be effective for the day. And I allowed myself that because sometimes you just need that.
That's nice.
You really just need that. But then I started to think about it and I thought, well, but I actually checked all my emails. I checked that my clients all had their Instagram posts up. I checked that all the clients had their Facebook up. I posted something for a client in a group. So I actually did my work while I was like just thinking I was lounging and chilling with my dog.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do that. I've done that too, where I just wake up a little earlier knowing that it'll be a slower cup of coffee. I'm going to take a little extra time to journal this morning.
Exactly.
That's that me time that's so important because, and it plays into the next question. The way you start your day and the way you set your intentions, or even the way you go to sleep at night, what you tell yourself about the next day is going to help you with your stress. And Joan, you just said that you're going to be at a client's event and you're setting up the tripods, and not only are you doing Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you know, it's going to be go time. Sometimes that could be stressful. Things could go wrong. So how do you handle stress and tackling any obstacles that are thrown in your way?
Yeah. So I did a meditation last night before I went to sleep. Of course, then after the meditation, my doorbell rang. My neighbor needed to borrow eggs. And I'm not kidding. Two eggs. It's like a joke. My neighbor needed eggs. Funny. It was very funny. And
like eggs are sugar.
Exactly, right? And then I needed to check a few emails. So I did do something after it, but I do a regular Monday night meditation. But I also do a regular meditation in the morning and at night. Am I perfect? No. Not by a long shot, but I at least do my breathing exercise. It's a 3-6-5 mm-hmm. breath. I breathe in for 3, hold it for 6, breathe out for 5. And that has helped me. I exercise almost every day, even if it's not going to the gym, it's something at home. I walk the dog, which helps. So yes, events, and especially when you're on live social media or a live radio show, it can be stressful because you never know what can happen. But again, the 3-6-5 breath helps me. And drinking water. I know we joke about drinking water, but I've been drinking water every time you start talking. I grab a sip of water because if I don't stay hydrated, I'm not good to anybody, including myself. So those are probably the two big things.
I think people somehow miss that. Like when I start feeling tired, I drink water. When I start getting a headache, I
absolutely
drink water. It really does help.
I just took a drink.
Exactly. So what are some of the things, you know, if you're doing, so you're up on your podcasting, you're up on your Facebook Live and Instagram Live, you're on top of media. You have to be. You're all about media, your social media. What are some of the resources that keep you up to date and in the know for your clients and for yourself?
I'm a big researcher. I love doing research and then finding articles, the most recent social media, the most recent ways to use social media. I'm constantly reading and writing and researching. And I also keep a plethora of interns around me that also are constantly researching. And half the time they know more than I do because they're reading it all the time. But I think that you just got to keep going and you got to keep making sure that you know what's going on because it's your business. It's your industry. You have to be the one knowing what's going on. I also make it a point to know what's going on in my clients' industries. For example, one of my clients is a criminal defense attorney. He's a big criminal defense attorney in Manhattan. And I was with him on Friday afternoon after my radio show. And the Skakel case that's up in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
It was breaking news.
Is that reopened?
It reopened because the Supreme Court reversed themselves. So within 1 minute, for some reason, I happened to be on Twitter at that exact moment that it was breaking. And for 1 minute, I had that information and I ran in to their office and I said, oh my God, look what's happening. And for me, that's the most important thing, to be able to tell a client what's happening in their industry at any given moment, which is why I'm on social media or why I have one of my team members on social media, seeing what's going on for the client. Now, it may not always be within a minute, but it'll certainly be within a 24-hour period. Another thing that happened was Schneiderman, the AG of the state of New York. So I still haven't heard from my client because he's been in court all day, but the state of New York is in an uproar right now with what's happening. So my client needs to know about that in case he wants to react. So those types of things are important. And I get that directly from the social media. The number one search engine, as we all know, is Google. Number two is YouTube. And number three is Facebook. Facebook is in and of itself a platform now for searching for content. You can find news articles directly in Facebook. So I use any means accessible to me to find out what's going on. I also watch TV when I'm working from my home office. I'll have the TV on, all the news programs. I'll be going back and forth to find out what's going on.
Yeah, I'll just comment on social media is news, which is really scary because when you are on Facebook, sometimes it's just an echo chamber of what you kind of want and it feeds your own perspective. So, you know, as a public relations and marketing professional, I always remember that what you're seeing on Facebook, you have to balance out.
Yes.
You know, sort of balance out your news, and there's the whole fake news and data issues, but we'll get into that another day. But I do want to get as sort of some parting advice, maybe what you would tell other professionals about getting more involved in social media, and maybe they don't even know where to start.
That's a great question. The first piece of advice I would give is just know what you don't know and know what you know, because there's a lot you're not going to know. And that's perfectly okay, as long as you have resources around you that do know. So make sure that your network is such that you have those resources and you know certain things and they know certain things. So it's a team. No matter what, we never operate in a vacuum. No matter what we do, it's a team effort for every single thing we all do. That's probably biggest piece of advice I could give anyone that is looking to be a professional of any sort, whether you're in college now or you're out of college and you're starting your own business. And probably another thing is don't burn bridges. Don't ever burn a bridge, because it will bite you. It will come back to you. It's a very big, small world, and it can be very scary. You want to be, if you've burned a bridge, acknowledge it, own it, and figure out how to make good, because it's never fun to be in a situation where, you know, I mean, I know it happens. Not everyone has to like you, but people should respect you, and you should be known for being an authentic, true, and respected person.
Right. I mean, that's great advice. But both points that you made on your latter point, this all kind of goes to social media as well, where you have to be accountable and you don't want to burn bridges, or, you know, that's not a place to settle scores.
Right.
That's where you definitely get in trouble. Okay. Last question, Joan. This is super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work and your podcast?
Absolutely. So I have a website, which is being updated and will be beautiful soon. So no judgments here. My website is Joan Pelzer Social, JoanPelzerSocial.com. I'm also Joan Pelzer on LinkedIn, on Twitter, Instagram. It's, I believe, Joan Pelzer NYC, and on Facebook as well. So I welcome people connecting, and I believe that you can connect to people on social media, even if you don't know them, but you have to have a reason. Don't just say, I want to connect to you, because there is a lot of trolling out there. And connect to someone, but give them a reason why. If you're a student and you want to connect to someone, say, I saw that you have a podcast. I want to learn about it. I want to learn from you. Can we have a call? Or can I meet you for a coffee? So I do connect to people I've not met in person, but I do need a reason, and I do need to have a phone call usually first.
Right. Purpose.
Yeah. Joan. Yeah. And, and you can also email me, joan@joanpelzersocial.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing
your
career journey. Oh, you're welcome. We just appreciate your insights, your advice, and all the time you've spent with us today.
So thank you so much, Deirdre. It was such a pleasure, and I can't wait to listen to the recording later on.
Oh, thank you. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. And if you can, please take a moment to rate Women Worldwide on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.